Morning. Today's daf in Ervin, daf Ayin Zayin. Be helpful today if you had a some sort of picture aid. A lot of visual depictions for today, so if you have one handy, fine. If not, it's also fine. Manage somehow. Okay, in today's daf, we are continuing from yesterday's daf. Yesterday we started the seventh parak of Ervin. And in the seventh parak of Ervin, we're talking about two chatzeres that lay side by side, and the possible merging of those two Erevin. The rule is pretty simple. The foundation of this parak is very simple. As long as there is a Pesach that allows me to go from one chatzer to another chatzer, so that makes it mergeable. Now, I say mergeable, which means the following, as the Mishnah pointed out, first Mishnah on yesterday's daf, that we don't have to make a joint Erev. We don't have to merge. Each one of us, there's a wall separating our two chatzeros. So if I want to make an Erev on my side and you want to make an Erev on your side, that's fine. But because there's a Pesach between the two, so now the two become mergeable. And if we want, we can actually fuse the two together, incorporate the two together, to make us one Erev, so that would allow me to carry not only from my house to my chatzer, but from my house to my chatzer to your chatzer. And then, of course, to your house, assuming, again, that we go through the proper procedure of Erev, which means that everyone would contribute, and then we would then export our Erev over into your Erev. Okay, and then, of course, everyone from your Erev would have to contribute as well. And in these Mishnayos and in the Gemara, obviously we want to know now, are the limits. We yesterday discussed, what's the smallest hole between two chatzeros, there's a wall separating the two of them, what's the smallest hole that would result in being a Pesach, and being an entrance? So as we discussed yesterday, it was very small. It was basically a cutout in the wall, a 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, right, which is about a foot and a half, by a foot and a half squared. And as long as you have a cutout of 4x4, so that's considered a Pesach. Now, obviously, you're not going to walk through that. But in other words, because communication between the two chatzeres can be achieved through that hole of dal by dalid, so therefore it's going to be, it will make the two chatzeres mergeable, and we could put the two chatzeres together into one Erev. Okay, that was yesterday's daf. And also another point that we discussed yesterday was that it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. If it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, so that's no good, right? It's too inconvenient if it's above 10 tefachim of the ground, so the thing has to be below 10 tefachim of the ground. Not all the hole has to be below 10 tefachim of the ground, said the Gemara's yesterday's daf, but just some of it. A portion of it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. And then yesterday we finished off with a little bit of geometry. Again, it's Ervin. Ervin, we get to see a lot of geometry, where we talked about what if the hole is not square in size, but what if it's circular in size? So what is going to be the circumference of that hole separating the two chatzeros? So basically, all we did yesterday, I mean, I'm simplifying our discussion from yesterday, is you draw a circle around the square. You draw a circle around the square. Square is 4x4. So you draw a circle, so you figure out now what the circumference is going to be. And it came out to 17 minus a fifth, or 16 and 4/5 amma circumference. Okay. That all takes us back to yesterday's daf. There was a discussion in the Gemara, which I really didn't elaborate on, which is the Chachamim of Kesari, where the Dayan of Kesari, where they seem to have computed the math a little bit wrong, the geometric shape a little bit incorrectly. So for more on that, so you can see Tosus over here on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, who tries to figure out how does their math compute. Okay, right, a discussion of area versus circumference. But anyway, but that goes back to yesterday's daf. We're going to go on. We're on Ayin Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Now, Pachos Midal Adal. Now, we're talking about the Mishnah where it's less than 4x4. Amar Rav Nachman Loshanu Ala Chalon Shebein Beis Chatzeros. Ava Chalon Shebein Beis Batim Afil Amala Me'asor Nami. Im Rasul Arv Ma'arvin Echad. Okay? We said yesterday that, as I just got done reviewing, that the hole between the two Chatzeros has to A, be more than 4x4, and B, be within 10 Tefachim of the ground. Because if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it's too inconvenient. Fine. When I want to merge houses together, okay, in other words, if I have two houses and each one of them is owned by separate owners, okay, there's also an Isser Midrabanan to transfer from one house to another house, from one Rishus Yachin to another Rishus Yachin. That's also included in the Gzera Midrabanan of Shlomo HaMelech. So therefore, they're next to one another. And
no separation, though.
None. No separation between the two houses. And now there's a wall separating the two houses. So now, if there's a hole in the wall, and the hole is sizes minimum 4x4 tefachim. So here what Rav Nachman's teaching us is that even if it's above 10 tefachim, that's good. That'll work out. My time, a basic command of Mal Yadam, because the Gemara gives us a principle that we've seen earlier. It takes us all the way back to Shabbos. We talked about this principle back in Shabbos as well. And that is basic command of Mal Yadam. The house is like it's filled up. Meaning that when you have a house which has an enclosure on top, so the airspace inside is halachically not airspace. It's almost like it's like ground. I don't know how to put it into English terminology, but basically it's like it's filled. And so therefore, when you're more than 10 tefachim off the ground, that's okay. In a house, it's okay. I guess you could throw up a bed against there, a couch against there. In other words, there are many things in the house that you could prop up in order to get to that hole that's above 10 tefachim. So, Eisrei Ravel or Rav Nachman Amar Echad Lichalon Shebein Beis Chatzeros, Echad Lichalon Shebein Beis Batim, Echad Lichalon Shebein Beis Alios, Echad Lichalon Shebein Beis Gagin, Echad Lichalon Shebein Beis Chadar, and Kulan Dal Adal Besoch Hasara. Okay, we have a problem, and that is the Brisa, and the Brisa gives a number of examples of basically the hole that's going to create communication between one side and the other side. And in this Brisa, one of the things that's described is a house. And the Brisa says, Ve'al Kulan, and for every one of these cases, the hole has to be 4x4, and it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. So it sounds like from the Brisa, Rav Nachman, doesn't seem like you're correct. Because you said that in a house, based on the principle, based on the command of Malia, it could be even above 10 tefachim, and meanwhile the Brisa says, no, it can't. So Tirgama Achatzeros. So the Gemara first gives one attempted answer of the Brisa. Well, maybe the Brisa was going specifically on the Chatzeros. There it has to be within 10 tefachim. Gemara says, V'ha Echad Likatani. But yeah, but just read the Brisa again. That's not really how the Brisa seems to flow. The Brisa says, Echad this, meaning both in this case and in that case. So it sounds like that this requirement of 4x4 and within 10 tefachim is for every one of the cases. So Tirgama Adal Adalin. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what's for every one of these cases? The requirement that the hole be 4x4. But the requirement that it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, not for every one of these cases. Specific to the case where I have two adjoining houses, separated by a wall, there, it doesn't have to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. Okay, that's how you can learn the brace of the Gemara defense of Rav Nachman. Ba'amini Rav Abba, min Rav Nachman, lu'a pasuch min ba'is la'aliyah. Tzarech sulam kavu la'atiro, ain't tzarech sulam kavu la'atiro. Okay, you have two floors to the house, right? For us, the best way to imagine this is our attics. Okay, attics in our house. Some of us have it, some of us don't. But if you have an attic, you know. So how do you get into the attic space? So what happens is that you pull down a ladder, and a ladder comes down. Okay, I know there are a lot of stories. So you pull down a ladder, ladder comes down. So now I'd like to know the following. So let's say now that I have the first floor and second floor not owned by the same person, owned by two different people. So are we going to stay over there? The same principle, basic command of Mal Yadami, that the house is like it's filled up. And so therefore, we could basically argue that I have the hole of 4x4 separating the bottom and the top, and I have the principle, basic command of Mal Yadami, so I don't need a permanent ladder over there.
When you travel vertically, you're actually going from one floor to another. Is that considered traveling? One entity, like one apartment on top of another, is like one.
But if they're owned by two different people, though, so then we have the gzeirat rabbanan of transferring from one rishos yachid to another rishos yachid. So you got it's owned by somebody else, right? The second floor is owned by somebody else. Okay, right. In other words, apartments, basically apartment buildings where no steps. In other words, it's strange, but the guy living on the second floor doesn't have any steps. What he does is that he has a makeshift ladder, which she occasionally brings over there.
My wife didn't do that. She went right through
She went through, right? Yeah. Baruch Hashem, it's now funny. Correct. Come on. So do we say the principle, basic command of Mal Yadami? So the Gemara says, Ein Tzarech Sulam Kavu La'atiro. So the question basically is like this. Okay, good. So is basic command of Mal Yadami going to allow us to look at it as if they're basically connected? The first and the second floor are connected even without the benefit of a ladder. So, ki amrina basic command Mal Yadami hani milim in atzad, meaning maybe the principle of basic command Mal Yadami will look at the vertical walls of the house, and as I described earlier, Meaning, even if the hole's above 10 tefachim, we'll put a chair over there, we'll put a bed over there, we'll put furniture over there. Oh, but to basically look from the floor to the ceiling and say, yeah, I could do it without a ladder, that's difficult. Or maybe the Gemara says, no, maybe the principle based on the command Amalia is a fundamental principle, which means that it doesn't matter whether I'm looking at the vertical wall, I'm looking at the ceiling over my head. So I'm Alain of Sarach. So he said, okay, you're good. You don't need a ladder. Meaning it sounds like this principle of basic command Amalia is a fundamental principle. So Savra Mine Sulam Kabuhu Dein of Sarach Asulma Right Sarach. Okay, I don't need a permanent ladder over there, right? If it makes it sound easier, by the way, maybe steps. Meaning I don't need steps going up to the second floor. But maybe I need a makeshift ladder. So, Itamar Amar Av Yosef Bar Min Yomi Amar Av Nachman Echatzum Kavu Vechatzum Arayin Otzarech. And the Gemara immediately dispels that notion. No, you don't need either. You don't need neither a permanent ladder nor a makeshift ladder. This principle, basic Amandamalia, really allows us to look at the entire house as if it's totally filled in. And so therefore, the hole on the wall is above 10 tefachim, that's fine. The hole in the ceiling, which obviously is above 10 tefachim, so that's also going to be fine as well. Meaning, because we're in a house, access to any part of the house is viewed as easy access. And so therefore, the two of them are connectable. And so again, the basic point now is that if I have the two, if I have my duplex, and the hole between them is above 10 tefachim, we can make a joint eruv. If I have one on top of another, and there's a hole in the ceiling connecting the two, we could make an eruv to connect the two as well. Okay. We're at the Mishnah, we're 9 Vav Amud Beis, and we're starting now more discussion about the possible merging of two chatzeros. Kosel Shebein Beis Chatzeros Gavo Asav Roch of Arba'a Marvin Shlein Vein Marvin Echa. Okay. First ruling of the Mishnah is a very straightforward ruling, and that's the following. I have a wall, and the wall is the total wall separating the chatzer from one end to the other end, with no Pesach whatsoever. And the top area, and the width of the wall is 4 tefachim. Now, as Rashi immediately points out, the width of the wall being 4 tefachim is not relevant to whether it's a wall or it's not a wall. There's no width requirement of a wall. A mechitza can be any width. It could be an inch thick, it could be a foot thick, it could be 4 feet thick. There's no real requirement of width of a wall. The requirement of a wall is really a height issue. It has to be 10 tefachim high and has to go from one end to the other end, but there's no real width requirement. Why is our Mishnah giving us a width of 4 tefachim? Stay tuned, because that will become evident in just a moment. The basic point of the Mishnah is that when I have the wall going, covering from one end to another end, separating two chatzeros totally, so now it's not mergeable. In other words, these are two separate chatzeros. Now, each chatzer on their own can make an eruv, but there's no possibility of the merging and the fusing of these two chatzeros into one. That's very straightforward. Ve'ein marvin echad. Hayu berosho peros. Now we get to see why the Mishnah is going to be dealing with a case where the wall is 4 tefachim wide. Let's say there's fruit on the wall. And so, you know how we usually go out to the field for a picnic, or we go to the backyard for a picnic. How about we have a picnic on the wall? Okay, it's 4 tefachim wide. It's a foot and a half space on the wall. And it's not such a far drop to the ground. What are you, 3 foot drop to the ground? So let's do it. Let's have a picnic on the wall. So can we do it? So basically, it really comes down to this. The question over here that the Mishnah doesn't actually articulate, so we will, is that who does this belong to? The area, in other words, the wall is clearly there to separate the two chatzeros. And we now know that it demarcates that on one side of the wall belongs to you and the other side belongs to me. But what about the wall itself? Whose ownership is it?
Who has to maintain it?
Right, okay. Right, there are a lot of Baba Basra issues. Right. Maintenance and, okay, a lot of those issues. But right now, we're just, Shabbos and Erevin are going to be our two issues. So in other words, who gets to go on it and enjoy the fruit on it? So that's what the Mishnah deals with. And the Mishnah says, both. So the Mishnah says, "Shnayim ve'ein marvin echad." Hayu barosh peros, elu ole mikan va'ochlin, ve'elu ole mikan va'ochlin. Uvavashalo yiridu lamatan. So it has kind of like a Switzerland style feel to it. It's neutral. It doesn't belong to. It doesn't belong to either. If there's fruit already on the top of it, you can enjoy that fruit, but you can, no, nobody can. Neither can make a transfer. neither chatzit can transfer from the top of the wall to there, rishus, but at the same time, however, neither chatzit is impeded from going to the top of the wall and enjoying the fruit on the top of the wall. Okay, so it has almost like a neutral status to it.
Well, if it's 4x4, it's a separate rishus, right?
Yeah, but owned by whom? Oh, okay, agreed.
The answer is by neither or both.
Okay, right. It sounds like from the Mishnah.
That's why you can't transfer.
Right. Agreed. Agree that it's a separate rishus. Right. But in other words, we want to know. Right. So okay. So right. Fine. So vavashalo yirid lamata. Nifritza kotel ad eser amos ma'arvin shleim v'imratza ma'arvin echad. Now, breach in the wall. Now, I say breach right now. I don't mean breach in the classic nifritza sense, but I mean just simply we had a full wall and now a hole got smashed in the wall. Good. Good meaning that now it's possible to merge the two chatzeros. However, mimnei shuk pesach yotza mikan. But once the breach in the wall exceeds 10 amos wide, so then we go back to what we learned from the beginning of the Masechta. That's no longer considered a Pesach. That's considered a Piritza. And now, Ma'arvin Echad, Ma'arvin Shnayim. Now, we go the other way. Because there's a Piritza between these two Chatzeros, they're not two separate Chatzeros. They're now one Chatzer. And now the only way that we can make an Eruv is by making one single joint Eruv between what once was two Chatzeros, but now is one Chatzer. Okay. So far, so good. Mishnah is very straightforward. The Mishnah, really, I think the biggest chiddush in the Mishnah is the idea of the top of the wall. Top of the wall being almost like a neutral state, meaning neither, not really owned by either chatzer, but at the same time, either one of them can go to the top of the wall and dine on top of the wall, just simply can't transfer from their chatzer to the top of the wall. So technically speaking, it's a rishus hayachid. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. But owned by whom? So it sounds like neither. Sounds like neither have ownership. Ein bo arba mai. Now, the Gemara now wants to know, what would be the halacha if the wall was not four tefachim wide? So before we can ask what the halacha is, what would be the common sense in going up and eating on a wall that thin? All right, not a lot. But okay, beyond common sense, however, you know, I would not recommend eating on the top of the wall, but Now the question gets raised. Well, if it's not four tefachim wide and it's not its own separate rishus, so how are we going to define it? The top of this wall. Ein bo arba amai. Amrav avir shtei rishuy shaletes bo lo yoziz bo afilam lo nima. So now, basically, because it's not four tefachim wide, the top of the wall, and it's not an independent state, an independent rishus, so now basically it's being attacked by two rishuyos. It's being almost as if collected by two rishuyos. So now it's not a neutral state, it's a state owned by two different entities. So now it doesn't really have an identity. Or if you want, we could say it the other way. It has too much identity. So now, I can't move anything on it, afilu nima, even a hair's breadth. Which basically means, look, something's on the top of this wall, it's non-independent rishus, it's being bombarded by both sides, so both sides have a, so to say, kind of like a domain on the top of it. So now, it just can't move it. That is the opinion of Rav Avir. Shtei rishuyos shaletes bo. I'm sorry, you're correct. You're correct.
And Rabbi, why isn't the Malkum Ptur?
It is. No, you're right. It is.
Why come up with this funny Shtei Rishu?
Okay, so you're Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to queue up Rabbi Yochanan in just a moment. Your thought process is the same as Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, why does Rabbi disagree with Rabbi Yochanan? I don't know. But Avir Shtei Rishu, Shalat Tzbola, Yaziz Bo, Afilu Malo Nima. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tapa Vayin Zayin Amar Aleph Eilu Malin Mikan V'Ochlin V'Eilu Malin Mikan V'Ochlin. No, in other words, not, Rabbi Yochanan really makes a chiddush and then a chiddush on top of that. Meaning, you can eat on top of the wall, you can move on top of the wall, and, says Rabbi Yochanan, you can even transfer. Meaning, I could take food from my chatzir and move it to the top of the wall. Think about it. It makes perfect sense. Meaning the top of the wall does not have, it's not a makam dalal adalad, it's not 4x4, it doesn't have its own rishus, So on Shabbos, when something doesn't have its own reshus, it identifies itself as a makom patur. Now, truth is, it could have identified itself as a karmelis, but as we've learned time and again, it's not big enough. Meaning the karmelis dimension needs at least 4x4 to give a status to karmelis. So it's not. So in other words, this is the scenario in which it's not a reshus yachin, not a reshus harabim, not a karmelis, so therefore it's a makom patur. Let's go back all the way to the beginning of Shabbos. What did we learn together? We learned back in the beginning of Shabbos that if you have a makom patur, I'm allowed on Shabbos to transfer from a reshus yachid to a makom patur. I'm allowed to on Shabbos transfer from a reshus harabim to a makom patur. The only thing that the Gemara in Shabbos taught us is that with all that information, with all that knowledge, here's what you can't do. You can't say, I just came up with a great idea of transferring from a reshus yachid to a reshus harabim. If I have an intermediary makom patur, so what I can then do is transfer from a reshus yachid to a makom patur, and then from the makom patur to the reshus harabim. Now, technically, can you do that? Yeah, sure. But in other words, the chachamim at that point said, I realized, wow, if you start doing that, so then it's a slippery slope, and then you're going to end up transferring from reshus yachid to reshus harabim. But here, it's fine. In other words, here, you can carry from your chatzir to the top of the wall, says Rav Yochanan, and so can the members of the other chatzir carry from their chatzir to the top of the wall. This is a makom patur. Mikan va'ochlin ve'amala mikan va'ochlin. Tanan eila ola mikan va'ochlin ve'eila ola mikan va'ochlin. So let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah is going to seem to side with whom? Well, it's kind of hard to say because our Mishnah doesn't deal with this case. Our Mishnah only deals with the case where the top of the wall is 4x4. But let's try to be medayik in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says these can go to the top of the wall and eat, and these can go to the top of the wall and eat. So olin in mal and lo. Now it's clear from our Mishnah does not allow transferring. You can't transfer from your chatzar to the top of the wall. That's clear from the Mishnah. So sounds like as if you're from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, how can you now argue that transferring is okay? Hachi kami yesh bar bal arba ola inin malan lo ain bar bal arba malan nami. Rav Yochanan says, what do you mean? The Mishnah actually helps my cause. Perfect. Meaning, I'm also going to be medayik from the Mishnah, and I'm going to arrive at what seems to me to be the correct conclusion. The reason why in our Mishnah's case you can't transfer is because exactly that. Because it's a makom dalad dalad. It's its own reshus. And so therefore I can't transfer from one reshus to another reshus on Shabbos. But if it's less than 4x4, it does not have its own identity. It's not its own reshus. It's a makom patur. So then you're allowed to transfer from your chatzar to the top of the wall. If you read the Mishnah like that, good, that's exactly my position. Azar of Yochanan Tameh. And now the Gemara takes us all the way back. This is the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. Yechi Azar of Dimi Amar of Yochanan Makom Shein Bar Arba Arba. Motel of Nev Reshus Arab, Motel of Nev Reshus Yach, Lechateif Alav. If you have a makom patur, any area that's not 4x4 tefachim. So you can have members of the Reshus HaYachid just for a moment, or even more than a moment. But basically, take something off their shoulder, balance it on the makom patur, right? Take a breather, put it back on their shoulder. And they could do that from a Reshus HaYachid. They could do that from a Reshus HaRabim. The only thing you cannot do is just simply go from Reshus HaYachid Makom Patur to Reshus HaRabim, or vice versa, because as I explained a couple of moments ago, that will lead to transfer from Reshus HaYachid to Reshus HaRabim. Okay, so now, truth be told, Rav Yochanan's position, and as Rabbi Tosh will point out just a moment ago, that seems to be now the sounds like the correct position, where when the wall is less than 4x4, it's a Makom Patur, so you could do now two things. You can not only eat on the top of the wall, you can actually transfer to the top of the wall, as you're allowed to transfer from Reshus HaYachid to a Makom Patur. And so now what that leaves us doing is wondering, going back to the sheet of Rav, so what's Rav's thought process? What Rav says two things. Rav says you can't transfer from the chatzar to the top of the wall, and you can't even move an item on the top of the wall. Why not? So Rav Lefle L'Rav Dimi, so Ibu Reshus Dar Raisa Achinami. So the Gemara says, Rav, of course, agrees with the statement of Rav Dimi going back to the beginning of Shabbos. You are allowed to transfer on Shabbos from Reshus HaYachid to a Makom Patur. You're also allowed to transfer from Reshus HaRabim to a Makom Patur. So if all that's true, so what's Rav's concern over here? Hacha b'mayiskin b'Reshus HaRabbanan. Here we're talking about Reshus HaRabbanan. Now, I'm going to caution. Reshus HaRabbanan over here doesn't mean that the Chatzir is not a Reshus HaYachid. The Chatzir is a Reshus HaYachid. Reshus HaRabbanan means, in this context, in our discussion, transferring from one chatzer to another chatzer. It's rabbinically banned. It's an iser midrabanan to go from one chatzer to another chatzer, assuming that the wall is a continuous wall, which means, even if it's not, meaning even if there's a Pesach, if the two chatzers were not merged with an Eruv, it is rabbinically forbidden to carry from one chatzer to another. So now Rav says, if this would just have been a Da'araisa question, where Rosh Hashanah Yachid is on one side and Rosh Hashanah Rabim is on the other side, so then I'm fine with it. I can transfer from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid to the Makom Pater. People know you're not allowed to transfer from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's an Issa Da'araisa. But if what is now at what's now at risk is an Issa D'Rabbanan, the psychology of the Jew, Issa D'Rabbanan, oh, okay, fine, Issa D'Rabbanan. So if one would be allowed, this is Rav's argument, if one would be allowed to transfer from the chaser to the top of the wall, and then I'm already on the top of the wall, and let me just go to the other side, and what's the worst that's going to happen over here? Issa D'Rabbanan, okay. So therefore Rav felt that in this case, he's going to be more machmer. It's an odd conclusion, it's going to come out, that if the Issa was an Issa D'Raisa, so then he would have been okay with it, because people are tend to be concerned about that, but if the Issa is an Issa D'Rabbanan, he's going to be more machmir. The Gemara makes that exact point. V'chachamim also chizuk l'divreihem yoster mishal Torah. Okay, and that's the position of Rav. Okay. and we move on. We spoke about the neutrality of the top of the wall. Meaning, if the wall is 4x4 tefachim, so that has now a neutral state to it, neither really can have more claim to it than the other chatzer. Neither can transfer from the chatzer to the top of the wall. If there happens to be a bowl of fruit on the top of the wall, so we can ascend to the top of the wall and eat on top of the wall and carry on the top of the wall, but we cannot transfer, neither can transfer from the top from their chatzer to the top of the wall. What the Gemara now is going to want to discuss is the following. What about can there ever be an argument where one chatzer can say to the other chatzer, that's not neutral territory, that's our territory? Are there arguments that one can make that where one chatzer could basically claim rights to the top of the wall? And again, and essentially the Gemara says, yeah, there are such circumstances. Let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see this all the time, right? We live in flat Florida, so we don't see this that much. But let's say I have a chatzer, let's say I have a wall divided two chatzeros, and it's uneven. Well, not the floor, but in other words, the incline of these two houses, so that when I'm in one side, so the wall looks 10 tefachim high. When I'm on the other side of the chatzer, the wall is 8 tefachim high. 5 tefachim high. Now, I know the words of the Gemara is v'tzido echad shava la'aretz. But Rashi and Tosfos both say, don't take that literally. It just simply means that it's below 10 tefachim it's within 10 tefachim of the wall. Okay. So in other words, first and foremost, it's a wall. Meaning for both sides. Even though from one side's perspective it's only 8 tefachim, but in other words it's still legally a wall, on the other side it's 10 tefachim. It's a wall. It'll separate the two. The only issue that we're going to be discussing is maybe one chatzer can claim rights to the wall more than the other. And the Gemara says that's in fact so over here. Nosa lezeh sheshev la'aretz mishum dehav lezeh tashmisho benachas ulezeh tashmisho bekasha. So the higher ups, I mean that here most literally, right? Thank you. The higher ups, those that are living in a higher elevation, actually have more of a claim to the top of the wall. Because look, what's their argument? In order for you guys down there to get to the top of the wall, so you got to climb 10 tefachim, right? That's crazy. Okay, not crazy, but you understand. In other words, that's tashmisho kasha. For us to use the top of the wall, it's just a step up. So for us, therefore, we feel like we have more of a right to the top of the wall, and the Gemara says, in fact, that's so. So mishum dehavalei tashmisha benachas zeh tashmisha bekasha v'chol zeh benachas zeh bekasha nosol zeh tashmisha benachas. So therefore, we award the top of the wall to the chatzer who is higher up. Okay, so it's Once again, it's good to be in an elevated position. Here, it's very good to be in an elevated position. No, that's right. I mean, right, that takes us to Baba Basra in terms, right, what's like the first, right, the first sugya is in Baba Basra, and in terms of, the, right, the Gemara over there discusses who cares for the wall, who, you know, who's building, who, the wall comes down, right, who gets the, I'm trying to go over, like, the beginning of Baba Basra, right, the wall comes down, who gets the actual building material, right, so, I know, and it doesn't seem like our discussion over here has any, you know, any awareness, so to say, of that discussion over there. I'm not sure. I'm also going to raise another question, which I'm not really sure. Meaning, the Gemara's conclusion is very clear. That we're going to award the one in the higher position, the top of the wall. Now, when we say award, does that mean now that they can transfer? Is the Gemara now giving rights of transfer to the people that are higher up? Or just simply means that they can use and the others cannot? I'm not sure. It sounds like. Yeah, I can hear arguments either way, and I'm telling you I'm not sure. I don't know if it just means right of usage or it means actual transferring from their chaser to the top of the wall. Okay, so something.
Seem to be talking about usage more than transfer.
Okay, I'm throwing the question out. I really don't know the answer, and we're going to continue.
I'm curious one thing: if a food fell off. Let's say, is it like it's falling from the tree? You can't use it.
Yeah, I can't. I can't.
Detach, could you use it?
Right. In other words, it was from a plate. Well, it's not inaccessible to you. Meaning, because you could climb to the top of the wall and eat it. So hard to really call it mukza.
But in this case,
well, you're trying to compare it to the case where it's falling from the tree. That's mukza.
So that's what I said.
Yeah.
If it falls off. Where it was transferred from one shoes to another. Does that mean
right.
I can't use it now? Or,
right.
Or does it mean?
Okay, I don't know. Yes, yeah.
Says that the halacha is quoted by Rechayim, and it's the assumption is it's talking about Shabbos, about movements that other people.
Right, but can and the transfer meaning transfer. Okay. Amar of Shizbi, Amar of Nachman, Charet Shabbin Sheikh Hatzeres. The Gemara is going to have an almost identical discussion to the one we just had. But instead of now a wall, we're going to talk about a ditch. Now, a ditch, as we're going to be discussing over the course of this parak, serves the same exact purpose as a wall. Meaning a ditch that's 10 tefachim high is going to divide two chatzeros. Walls don't have to be ascending. Walls can also descend as well. So if I have a ditch separating the two chatzeros and the ditch is 10 tefachim deep, we are now looking at a wall. So charet shebein sheikh chatzeros, tzidu achad amoka sar, v'tzidu achad shavu la'aretz. And again, now we're going to have where again these two chatzeros are the community is built on the side of a mountain, and so therefore from one person's perspective the ditch is 10 tefachim high, and from the other the ditch is not 10 tefachim high. Now here we're going to reverse. The people living on top are going to have obviously the longer fall down to the bottom of the ditch, and the people living below are going to have an easier time with this ditch. So nos to nos all lezeh sheshav al haaretz mishum da'av alei lezeh tashmisha benachas ulezeh tashmisha bekasha. And so therefore, same conclusion, that the people who have easier access to the bottom of the ditch are awarded that area. Okay. Utsrichi, now the Gemara points out, these two statements seem to be so complementary of one another, it almost seems to be superfluous. And the Gemara now wants to explain that no, both of these are actually necessary. Look, generally speaking, people use the top of the wall. Top of the wall, it's an elevated area, it's a protected area. But who's going to store things at the bottom of the ditch? Hey, let's go to the bottom of the ditch. Let's have a little snack in the bottom of the ditch. People don't normally do that. So that's why I would have thought a wall would have been a more intuitive place to place things. The iash mina becharet mishum dalo biite tashmishtei avakota debite tashmishtei malam. And you could also make an argument that top of the wall, people are generally scared. Okay, a fear of heights, it's normal. Okay, you should. It's okay to be afraid of heights. So you're on the top of the wall, and I don't know. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to eat here. I might have thought that there should be no consideration for the top of the wall, and we're really never going to award the top of the wall to either chatzer. So the Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, no, that even when the top of the wall, we're going to award it to the one who has easier access to it. Tzricha. Okay. That ends our awarding the top of the wall. And now, from here forward, we're going to be discussing the following topic. A wall that separates two chatzeros obviously is going to separate them. They cannot merge and make one joint Eruv. If there's a Pesach, so then what can happen now with that Pesach is that the two Eruvim can merge. Short of a Pesach, is there any way where basically we can view the two chatzeros as together? And the answer is basically yes, through a process known as miut. We're going to reduce. A reduction of the height of the wall. Now, reduction of the height of the wall could be, the simplest way it could be done is actually, right, knocking out a little part of the wall so that an area on the wall now is less than 10 tefachim. Okay? Or, right, putting a little, right, putting steps along the side, a platform, along the side of the wall. So, miut can be done a number of different ways. So, today, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to go through about a half a dozen different ways that miut can be performed. So, balamatim yesh b'miut arba'a mutal ishtamsh b'kol hakosa kulo v'im lav em ishtamshin ela keneged hamiut. So, the Gemara says that if I make a miut, if I make some sort of diminishment of the wall in one area of the wall, if that area is four tefachim, so that's great. That basically now allows me access. Access to the other chatzer and access to the entire top of the area of the wall. So basically now, what I can do with this miut is basically step up to the top of the wall and use the entire area. Now, just mind you, by the way, that if this miut extends to the other side of the chatzer, so then we're back to square one. Meaning because both of us now have equal access to the top of the wall, and once again, that wall turns into that neutral state, neither mine, neither yours. So apparently,
it couldn't extend the other one because the wall separates.
Right.
It's not talking about the, you know.
Correct. So apparently, this miut only presents itself to one side of the chatzer, not to the other side of the chatzer. Okay. V'yam lav v'yam shal can I get a miut? So manav shechi yahani miuta
beku. The thing that is just one side goes to platform.
We're going to talk about both sides, but the Gemara says that this halacha sounds a little bit strange. Well, I don't understand. Why does this miut have to be four tefachim? Meaning, if it's four tefachim, so therefore it allows me access to the total, and if it's not four tefachim, I can't use it at all. Not even the point of miut. I'm Ravina Kagosha Akar Chulya Meirosho. So the Gemara says, well, we took a clod from the very top of it. So in other words, if it's four tefachim wide, the amount that we took away from it, so then yes, that now is considered almost like a Pesach to the top of the wall, and therefore I can access the entirety of the top of the wall. Okay. Amar of Yechiel. Okay, if you have pictures, it will be very helpful, although I'll describe each picture. These aren't that difficult. Another form of miut is to take a bowl and invert it, turn it upside down, and now basically you made a makeshift step stool that allows me to descend to the top of the wall. That's also a miut. That also allows me now access to the other side. So the Gemara says, a bowl? So the Gemara says, Mamait, Devranita B'Shabbos, if a Devranita B'Shabbos, and a Mamait. Well, the bowl's there, but the bowl's not a fixed, permanent structure of that wall. You just simply pick the bowl up, and you'll just simply walk away. How could you say the bowl is the actual miut? So the Gemara says, well, we pounded some dirt in there. Okay, we packed some dirt in there, basically trying to connect the bowl to the ground. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, and so what? The Gemara is going to quote Mishnayos and Shabbos. Pug sheid minim b'teven v'charara sheid minim b'gachalim. Now you got to go back to a time where we didn't have refrigerators. So what's the best way to store things?
In the ground.
Right. In other words, we buy our fruits and vegetables. We put it in the fridge. They bought the fruits and vegetables. Like how do you stop fruits and vegetables from going bad? I mean, vegetables is a bigger problem, but, you know, how do you stop it from going bad? So, they put it in the ground. They actually buried it in the ground. And the Mishnah on Shabbos deals with the question, well, if it's buried in the ground, not planted in the ground, buried in the ground. If it's buried in the ground on Shabbos, can I take it out of the ground? I'm moving dirt. Is that going to be an issue? And the Mishnah says it's not a problem. It's a brayse. I keep calling it a Mishnah. Pagashi admina b'tevin, if I have some vegetable that's buried in the grain, v'chararashi admina b'chalam, or if I have cake that's buried in coals, and obviously the tevin and the charara are mukza, imagula mikzasa, nala b'shabbos. So, as long as some of the cake and some of the vegetable is revealed, so it's okay, you can pull it out. There's going to be some coal getting moved, or there's going to be some tevin, tiltum and atzad.
Orientation also matters, or it goes with the...
You remember that discussion, right?
Yeah.
Right, we talked about like the carrot, where it's nose down,
right,
or if it's nose up.
Right.
Right. Very good. We had that very discussion. If I remember correctly, okay, that's not I'm not so confident, but if I remember correctly, I believe our conclusion was it doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara says, well, this bowl has a rim around it, and so therefore not only was this bowl pounded into the ground, but with a rim, and therefore really solidifies its connection to the ground. The Gemara says, really, who cares? I'm sorry, if I bury turnip or radish under the vineyard, Bisman shemiksas magula. Now again, bury versus planting. When it's not planting, this is just simple burial. So bisman shemiksas ala magulan. As long as some of it's revealed, some of the leaves are revealed. Ain't a choshesh. So the Mishnah tells us nothing's an issue. When I say nothing, I mean lo mishum klayim. Klayim is not going to be an issue. Meaning there's an issue in the Torah. You're not allowed to plant fruits and vegetables in a vineyard. It's not a problem. I'm not planting. I'm burying. V'lo misha meiser, and there's no meiser consideration as well. Meiser over here, what does that mean? It means that, look, if I already took off meiser, I put it in the ground and there's additional growth. Okay, so that's a dividend. You know how the government taxes our dividends? So over here, you can make the same argument. Meaning if there's growth, maybe there should be a taxation of that growth. Right? That's a dividend. So no, because again, I didn't plant it. Meaning I just buried it in the ground. Okay, may have grown a little bit larger, but that's post-tax dollar. That's fine. So lomishim klein, velomishim meiser, velomishim shvius. Also, there's no ister of shvius. Shmita, you're not allowed to plant. I'm not planting, I'm burying. It's different. Velomishim meiser, velomishim shvius. Vini talim b'shabbos. And I can pick it up on Shabbos. Dirt's going to get moved. That's tiltum and atzad. That's fine. That's not a problem. Okay. So, how can the bowl? We're back to our original question. Even with a rim, how can the bowl be a miut? The Gemara's answer is Votzricha debay mar vechatzina. So the Gemara says it's really dug deep into the dirt. In fact, the only way that we're going to get the bowl out is through excavation. I need to get out the shovel. I need to get out the rake, whatever these tools are. In other words, okay, whatever they are. In other words, it's going to require tools and excavation to get it out of the ground. I buried it that deep into the ground, and that's why it's going to serve as a miut. Sulam amitri and amamayit vatsuri memayit. Okay, ladders. Some ladders create a miut. Some ladders do not create a miut. Egyptian ladders do not create a miut, and Tyrian ladders do create a miut. Well, that's wonderful. So obviously we need some better definitions because, you can call it what kind of whatever ladder you want. We have to know what really makes this ladder an Egyptian ladder. So hechidam isulam amitri amri de bei Rav Yanai kol she'ein lo arba'a chavakim. Doesn't have four rungs, right? We all have our step stools in our house. At least I do. So based on my vertical stature, I need step stools almost everywhere. But if it's the three rung step stool, that's nothing. Meaning that you can't put that against the wall and say, okay, I've reduced the height of the wall. Okay, it's a movable ladder. So Amalei Rav Acha Brei Deravah LeRav Ashi My Time Is the Sulam Mitzvah De Lo Memayit Amalei Lo Shmi Alach Adam Rav Acha Bar Adam Rav Hamenun Am Rav Vishem Davlei Davishin Itab Shabbos Vechol Davishin Itab Shabbos Eino Memayit. It's movable. It basically takes us back to the same thing as a bowl, as the inverted bowl. You know you're going to pick up and move the inverted bowl. That can't serve as a miut. Neither can this makeshift ladder, the three-rung ladder. So the Gemara says, well, let me ask you a question. So let's say I get a four-rung ladder. Okay, let's even go crazy. Let's go with a five-rung ladder. You can't pick it up and move it? It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't describe, doesn't say... Okay, so right, the Gemara doesn't say, and that's muksa, meaning it's clear from our Gemara it's not muksa. So hasam kovdo kovo. So the Gemara says it's heavy. And it's interesting, meaning that it doesn't seem to be a halachic issue. It just seems to be a very pragmatic issue that if the ladder is extraordinarily heavy, and generally speaking, we don't move it, so that could serve as a miut. Okay, Amar Abaye. Kosel shebein shtei chatzeros gavoros har tvach minich sulam rachav arba'a mikan, v'sulam rachav arba'a mikan. Ve'in bein zeh lezeh shlosha tvachim memayet. Now, let's talk about ladders on both sides. Okay, I have a ladder on one side and I have a ladder on the other side. Now, the dimensions of the ladder is that it's four tefachim wide. Four tefachim wide, why do we need the ladder to be a four tefach wide ladder? Because basically we're going to be now speaking about a Pesach. It's going to be an entrance going from one to the other, but without actually touching the wall. The Pesach is going to be in the form of a ladder. If the ladder is four tefachim wide, and I have ladders on both sides, and even if the ladders don't greet one another at the top of the wall, even if they're off to the side, as long as they're within three tefachim of one another, so then we have that principle of lavud. Basically now the ladders are connected, and now I have a Pesach going from one to the other. It's now mergeable. The two chatziris are now mergeable. Arba mikan ve'im bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim memayet. Shlosha eino memayet. Now if it's greater than three tefachim, so then it's not going to be memayit. Now how about this? How about just simply walk to the top of the wall and then walk across the wall? The Gemara says that's a good consideration. So the Gemara says that's an excellent consideration. In fact, you're right. If the top of the wall is greater than four tefachim, so then it doesn't matter where each ladder on each side of the chutz is going to be situated. Because what we can always do is go to the top of the wall, walk across the wall, and descend down the other ladder. The Gemara says, you're correct. Amar of Bibi Barabaye Bani Itztaba Agav Itztaba. Okay, let's do this last one and then we'll conclude for today. I have a platform built on top of a platform. Okay, now why get complicated over here? Why are we having a dual platform, a double platform? You'll see. The Gemara wants to make one specific point. So, the lower platform has actually, and the lower platform goes all the way to the ground, meaning it's a complete platform. It's not just simply suspended in air, and it goes all the way down to the ground, and it has an area of 4x4 tefachim. So now that could serve as a miut. Inami ein betachton arba v'yesh b'alyona arba'a v'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha memayet. Or if in, let's say, the top platform, the upper platform is an area of 4x4, the lower platform isn't, but the distance between the upper platform and the lower platform is less than 3 tefachim. So then we have the principle of lavud. So now basically what I have is a ledge that is 4x4 tefachim and goes all the way down to the ground. Admittedly, at the base it's not 4x4 tefachim, but for the purposes of miut, that's going to be enough. However, However, what's clear from the Gemara, and take a look at Rashi. Rashi makes this point very clear. If, let's say, the upper platform is just kind of hanging out there, meaning it has no base whatsoever, the upper platform will not work. Rashi writes, if the distance between the upper and lower platform is greater than 3 tefachim, those are two separate entities. Rashi gives us a rule that you can't have a miut with something just suspended in the air. In other words, the miut has to be based and touching to the ground in order for it to qualify as a miut. So that's why we get this case of the double platform, the dual platform, because we just want to accentuate the point that there has to be, the platform has to be based on the ground. Now, it's true that at the ground, it doesn't have to be 4x4, but it has to go all the way down to the ground. So if I have this double platform and the distance between the two is more than three tefachim, so it's like separate, and therefore this top ledge is just a ledge hanging in the air, and that cannot serve as a miut. Oh, so that's the next case. When we're in fact we're going to start with that tomorrow. Okay, good. So today we finished up the discussion of a hole between two houses. The principle basic command Damalia Damya. We talked about that as maybe it's only limited to vertical. The Gemara says no, it's true even for the ceiling as well. Principle basic command Damalia Damya. We talked about the wall separating the two chaseros. The top of the wall, it's its own separate rishus belonging to whom? So if all things are equal, neutral. It's a neutral state. If one has easier access to it, so one can claim the right to it. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we talked about miut, about lowering the wall without actually lowering the wall. And that's the process of miut, and basically allowing me to climb and ascend to the top of the wall. We talked about in terms of both rights to the top of the wall. We talked about in terms of creating a pesach between one chatzir and the next chatzir.